Hey, what up? This is Swamp Fiends coming at you with another episode. This time we got something special planned. So I was perusing AWP the other day and I saw this battle report that is exceptionally well edited and put together. And it's just a really real pleasant experience. But I haven't watched it because I thought this would be a really cool idea to have some guests on, watch the video and react sort of live. So this would be sort of a watch along slash commentary episode to go along with this battle report. So before we get to that, I have to point you guys, the listener, to this battle report. So it is done by Hexbag. That is the name of the YouTube channel. It was on AWP. You can search that on YouTube. And the title is Malifaux GG1 Battle Report Titania versus Parker. It was published May 19, 2020. So yeah, this thing looks like a really sick battle report and I wanted to have some guests on to watch it with me basically. So first of all, it is Parker versus Titania. So I hit up my, friendly neighborhood, Neverborn player, Danny, to come on and, talk about it.
What's up? I'm doing good, man. Doing good.
You excited?
I am excited, actually. I always like to look out for Titania players. I feel like she's kind of doesn't quite have a niche, and I feel like if somebody just sat with her for like a couple months and only played her, they could make a lot more use out of her than I usually see or I've been able to do myself. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I've watched you play her a couple times, and she seems really interesting. But yeah, I don't know. She just doesn't seem to stand out like the rest of the Neverborn stable. So I'm excited to see this battle report because I think Parker does stand out in the Outcast stable. And I think a lot of factions have envy for just how like efficient and shooty he is. So
I certainly do. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, as usual, we got Jimmy on. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty excited to see how this plays out.
Yeah. It should be a good time. Good watch. So hopefully if you're listening to this, you've navigated to the YouTube link. So what we're going to do is we're just going to count down 3, 2, 1, start. When I say start, press play. So you guys ready?
Yep.
Let's go.
All right. 3, 2, 1, start. All right. Yeah, I'm going to mute mine. Hexbag.
Yep.
It's a sick logo.
That is a pretty sick logo.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's what happens when you take the voodoo doll with Marcus, give it the wings upgrade.
You can do that, right? That's what it is. Yeah. That sounds so annoying. So yeah, this thing is, I skimmed through it. I didn't go to the end, but yeah, there's some pretty exceptional production value involved. And the reason I thought this would be perfect for this sort of commentary track is when a model is doing an action, he like puts up the card and will highlight the action that's actually performed. And if damage occurs, he's marking the damage on the card on the screen as it's going on.
That's nutty.
Yeah, that's, dude, when you told me this video was an hour long and it was a full game of GG1, I'd like didn't believe you.
Yeah. So it looks like first impressions last up till 11 minutes. Ooh, there's our pool. So we got Flank, Symbols, Vendetta, Assassinate, Hidden Martyrs, Breakthrough, Runic Binding. And there's the crews.
First impressions.
Interesting.
Okay. I can buy it.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. So basically what he's saying is that Neverborn struggles to get across the board and sort of stick around to pick up the symbols. I could definitely attend. Like, I've watched you play a few games, Danny. That's another reason why I think you're perfect for this episode. Like, because symbols was a second strat, right? And I watched you play a few games that were like super interesting, where you did a very good job of balancing strats. Defending versus going offense for getting the markers. Do you think that's like where Neverborn sort of exists in this strat? Is they have to sort of, you can't just scream across the board. You have to play some degree of defense.
Yeah, you can, but especially if the enemy declares Parker, I'm immediately worried about guns. So if I just send a bunch of stuff up the board, it's going to get shot off in a pretty quick and efficient manner with the run and gun and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's also, if you're, I'm playing Titania as well. I am concerned about getting up the board for sure.
Yeah, I like how it says, at this point, I've pretty much given up on runic binding. You, me, and everybody else.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It's, well, he has, at least the Neverborn player here, could take the henchman Aislinn, which I see he didn't. But that one is like, gives you more scheme marker options than most Neverborn crews.
But then they declare Parker, and you're like, yeah, well, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that's...
Why is the second point of, I feel like if you get a hit runic binding, the first point, the second point should just be free. Then it might be more interesting.
Just
it's,
two
it's
points.
It's crazy that the second point is even harder. Like,
yeah, well, especially once you reveal it, like knowing it's coming.
All right. So I got some questions for this list, Danny. Okay. Serena, she's versatile, right?
Yep.
She just... I mean, she feels like such a strong pick in almost every Neverborn crew.
Anything, yeah.
Do you think, do you think that's like the solid choice considering its symbols that maybe she's a little too slow, or do you think she's just too good to not take?
Against a Parker or any gun crew, I could justify it, really, because you're going to get shot up early. And then in those kind of games, it usually ends up being like, I'm going to get shot early and then I'm going to get into the opponent. And how much do I lose before I get into the opponent? And Serena Bowman does a great job of mitigating that. Additionally, she also brings one of the only versatile outright ignore armor on a her attacks. There are some, there's like Hinamatsu has a trigger for it and so does Angel Eyes, but you have to hit the trigger. You need a tomes for both of them, where Serena Bowman just outright her gun ignores armor. And you know, in a Parker, you're not really thinking about armor too much. Obviously we can see he took Arek, so that's actually very good, but you obviously don't know that before you pick Serena. I think she's good enough. I'm never going to criticize taking it, really.
And,
I think she's good. Just the heal, being able to heal once or twice every turn.
Yeah. If you hit that trigger removal.
And the condition removal, I think just sitting there and doing that, and it's something that's going to keep your guys alive, and with the demise, she's probably not going to go down too easily. So it's a heal that is hard to take off the table.
Yeah.
Yep. And she's defense 6, which is kind of bullshit, but I mean...
But why not? And she can't be run and gunned.
Oh, that's a good point too, with the disguise.
Yeah.
So they just pointed out something interesting, is that the Titania player is pretty much committed to taking Hidden Martyrs, while the Parker player can't even take it at all. Doesn't have the correct number of stones on significant models. That seems like it could really play out in this game, because this is a fairly difficult pool. Vendetta, Assassinate, Hidden Martyrs, Breakthrough, Runic Binding.
Yeah, it is. I really don't like Hidden Martyrs or Runic Binding.
Yeah, I hate Vendetta too. I feel like it just sort of ties your hands together the whole time.
Well, actually, in this case, the Neverborn player should have a good out. I should check the scheme. But the Gorar has a replace ability. Which allows you to replace with a higher cost enforcer or minion that died previously in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it is stat 8, and it works like summons do, where it's 10 plus the cost of the model. So being stat 8, a 13 would get you to 21, which would allow you to get the Hooded Rider back.
Yeah.
So you could take that scheme with the Gorar. Unless it's I should check if it's non-totem. But if it isn't non-totem, you could do that. And the Gorar can come back as the Hooded Rider on a 13.
So let me speak to this Parker crew. He's gone through a lot of details here. So he brought Midnight. That feels obvious to me. This feels like one of the most obvious midnight pools ever because you got symbols and breakthrough on top of the other schemes being very difficult for you. So his entire game plan feels very heavily reliant on midnight. So I'm going to be very much looking to where he deploys him. So Danny, what do you have any built-in plus flips in that crew? I don't really know much about Titania there.
There are a few. There is Titania, anytime somebody's in concealing, her ranged attack, excuse me, not in concealing, they're in severe terrain, her ranged attack gets a plus flip. That's the underbrush markers that are prevalent with her are severe terrain, and she can push them from 8 inches away. So she can just, ideally, she bonus action, she pushes one on top of you, you take a damage from that, and then she shoots you on plus flips while you're in it.
Okay. Yeah, because I feel like if Parker wins this game, Midnight is going to score at least 3 points. Like, if you wanted to make a drinking game out of this commentary, take a shot every time Midnight scores a point. So,
I think he'll score even more points if he's unchecked.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So being really cognizant of plus flips is sort of how he's going to win this game, I feel like. And keeping Midnight away from Titania, it sounds like. Hooded doesn't have access to plus flips, does he? Well, he has
a great sword. Oh, that's damage, though. What's that?
Is he ruthless?
He is ruthless, yeah.
Okay, well, that's even better because the Midnight's really reliant on manipulative, so that's what I was sort of speaking to. So that's rough. He's going to have a difficult time finding space to avoid both Titania and Hooded.
That's, well, I imagine the Midnight Stalker would try and go deep. That's a Scheme Runner model, yeah? I don't know too much about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think what I imagine he was doing is he's keeping the effigy back and then kind of having it play more of a defensive role later in the game because it can shoot out the severe hazardous terrain on its ranged attack. Effigy can. Or excuse me, the Emissary can. Did he take the upgrade or not here?
It doesn't look like it. Oh. I think part of the plan, too, is just to have a bunch of hidden modern targets.
The effigy, he did take the upgrade.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah, he does.
So, I think he wants to keep that back and use it as a defensive model against the Midnight Stalker.
He just said in this commentary that Assassinate, he feels like, is off the board, which...
Titania's pretty tough.
Yeah. That hard to wound and cruel disappointment is a ruthless combination.
She can heal herself with Leech Life, and she also has a trigger on a ranged attack to remove a condition from herself and heal herself too as well.
Well, the cruel disappointment doesn't affect her, does it?
No. It does.
Yep, it's an aura.
It's aura, not a pulse, so she will be in it.
Oh, I've been playing that wrong.
Yeah,
a lot.
She's already looking better for you.
Right. She is better to me now. Okay, she might be playable by the end of this video in my mind. I'm hoping.
Yeah. So, you get our first look at the board.
Here we go.
So, if you're listening to this, we're at the start of the game at 11:10. In case you got thrown off or anything like that. So looking at this board, guys, what do you think about the terrain setup? Do you think it favors one crew or the other?
There's a good amount of open space on this board. I'd say, I mean, obviously it's going to get patched up with the underbrush markers, but just from the board state itself, I think it kind of favors, as a Neverborn player, this kind of favors Titania because I feel like it's a little sparse.
I agree.
And if you have sparse terrain and you're running into a faction like Outcast that has a lot of guns,
Titania, you mean it favors Parker?
Or not Parker necessarily, but just any gun crew. So Parker, yes, but not him outright.
Yeah, I assume that swamp is just severe terrain, in which case that's a big, huge, like you said, that's a lot of open space. Yep. So Parker is going to have a field day. He actually didn't bring Mad Dog, which is interesting. He said that
Nodicea.
He didn't bring them because of all the concealing, but are the underbrush markers destructible?
They're not.
No.
They're not. Okay, so that is an interesting, smart move then.
Yep.
That makes sense. I consider Mad Dog usually an audio take, but I guess if you don't want to devote a lot of resources to ensuring he gets good shots, then it makes sense not to take him. I guess it puzzles me a little more that the Hodgepodge is in the list, because usually Hodgepodge and Mad Dog are a tag team duo, because the Hodgepodge will give Mad Dog a scheme to get fast and maybe even give him companion so that you could push him out of melee and then immediately companion and start shotgunning faces off. But so right now he's just attaching an upgrade with the Hodgepodge.
Okay. That's, I haven't really seen the Hodgepodge emissary used too much.
So when you bring the Hodgepodge, you're kind of either committing to one or two things. You're saying, I'm going to put schemes right over the center line. So he's really good for leave your mark, stuff like that. Or you're just committing to a bubble, because he's got a bunch of auras, the plus one move aura, plus one heal aura, and then healing by its very nature is kind of a bubble type situation. So I think if he wins this game, it's from Rx sitting in the middle, being tanky as hell, getting healed like crazy with the doc and the donkey, and while Midnight just goes unmolested and picks up all the points.
Makes sense. Ooh, I wonder if he goes for the lure here. I don't see the mysterious effigy is a good pick with Titania for sure, especially with the upgrade on it, but outside of Titania's crew, you don't really take the effigy or the emissary really ever in Neverborn. Not that you don't take it, but it's just not considered as good as other things.
Yeah, it seems like one of the more specialized of it, of all the other factions. What model was that? Oh, that's Johan. I didn't even notice the Johan pick. Is Titania put a lot of conditions out?
Did she have some injured?
She can throw out some injured, yeah, and some other stuff. She didn't put out a ton, I don't think. Ooh, I didn't even see that Wicked Doll back there.
Yeah, I can. He's definitely committed.
I wonder what the Wicked Doll is for.
It's just a significant model, really. I think it's just a scheme runner.
Just a stealth. What stealth, I guess.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's really. It's like how it lives.
Parker is shooting on like the third activation. Long. That is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I guess this Ruguru hasn't even activated. Nope. Did Parker get a push? No, he just got the plus one move from the donkey, I guess. I wonder how many shots. Ooh, what?
Oh, yikes.
He just cheated in red to do 6 damage on the first shot.
He was that much above him that he could cheat?
I guess. Or maybe he flipped it. I just assumed because I saw it come down as one card, but it could have been he flipped 1, 2, 3.
Gotcha.
Or maybe it was a jack. I can't. It's kind of hard. Ooh, oh, my God. Ruguru's dead. Already. Third activation of, like, the freaking game.
It was just a severe. I only has 9 health, so it was a severe and then a moderate.
Parker's 2, 4, 5.
Yeah, so he hit 4. He hit 5, then 4.
Oh, my God.
I think he hit 6 to start. So I think he hit that red Joker damage, didn't he?
Yeah,
maybe he did.
I think he marked 6 on the battle report, so I think he did.
Yeah, that's damn. That's unfortunate, because that's what, you know.
It's not.
You get lit up like that early, that's why you have Serena Bowman right there.
Yeah, and it just completely forces your hand. Like, you can't stay back longer than that, right? What are you going to...
Yeah.
So now he's just all inning.
Oh, wow. He's really all inning. I mean, that's not a bad idea. Like, I think, you throw him in your face and say, hey.
I'm a big fan of this play.
Big fan of the all in.
I just played a game where I all in.
Yeah. Jimmy sits down at the hold'em table. He's like, oh, you know, what's the buy-in? All right, deal me in. All in. Doesn't even look at the cards. All in.
Oh, man. Oh.
We'll worry about the cards when we get on the flop.
So he doesn't have Killjoy, right? So
he does not. Well, you got the repeat trigger here. So that's he gets to do it twice.
Yeah, that being in front of Johan is pretty huge because he's so slow. He does have rush now, though. But yeah.
Plus, Parker's now engaged.
Yeah. Ooh, flip black.
Oof.
So that was what, a walk charge? Or maybe it was just walk charge?
It was a walk, and then he germinated the marker and hit a trigger to place into the marker.
Oh.
And then bonus, he missed the right
attack, and Black Jokered it.
So Midnight had his mask for the leap. Leaps up, walks up. He's not over the center mark, so he's not going to be fast for the next turn, but I'm a big fan of that positioning. You want to be as conservative as you can turn one, because turn two, he's going to run to assemble, and Parker is going to do any damage at all and then force him to interact out of activation. Yeah, one of the benefits of Parker is that he can bring anything. He doesn't need his keyword like other masters. He does stuff for his keyword, but the reverse is not true. So he can bring a really specialized crew like this and only use those out of activation interacts for stuff like the Midnight flip, picking up symbols and all that great stuff. Sue is shooting to Tanya.
And that's an easy cheat. He's on a negative because of the concealing. Oh, he Black Joker damage anyways.
Oh, shooting Serena now with the second shot.
Yeah. Oh, he's actually losing.
Couldn't shoot her first because of the disguise, like you said, Jimmy.
Oh, he's going in with the hooded.
Yeah, he's got it, right? I'm really interested to see how Auric fares in this game, because I'm not a huge fan of him, even in keyword.
Like, what's his keyword?
Free court. Like he's pretty tanky with armor two, but he goes down, you know, somewhat easy-ish.
He's doubling down. He's charging in.
But I can see that with Parker, you're going to have something that you're just going to need to use the front of its card and not the back of its card. Holy shit. Okay.
Four damage. Five damage.
Do we know what the Neverborn player took? Does he have Assassinate?
We don't know what he took, but I would assume he has Assassinate. Seems like a pretty big tell to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even still, if you can get there.
Yeah, Parker is a good... I think it's good to take Assassinate against Parker, because even though he is a range master, he can stay back and shoot and run. At some point, he has to come in and pick up scheme markers, or you're losing a lot of efficiency with him.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that, okay, once you come in, I'm going to punish you.
Absolutely.
See, a reason I also don't like Auric in this particular matchup is if you see his damage track there in the video, he's a 2-4-6. So he's basically like a focus beater, right? So if they fall into two categories of focus or like volume beaters, Auric almost always wants to be taking focused attacks. But the cruel disappointment just completely negates that.
Yeah.
You know, because he's got the focus. He punches for 7 with his bonus action if he focuses and hits severe. But if he's going down to moderate, you know, whatever.
They did just show the schemes there for a second. They both took, or do I want to spoil it or not? I don't know.
No, go ahead.
They both took Vendetta. Didn't say which models though. And one of them took the Outcast player took Breakthrough. The Neverborn player took Vendetta.
Wait, they both took Vendetta.
They both took Vendetta, and then what else did the Neverborn player?
Oh, Hidden Martyrs. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Uh-huh. I think these. Yeah, that makes sense. Damn. I bet that Neverborn player is wishing they took Assassinate right now.
Probably.
I felt like I would never take Assassinate until I did yesterday. Oh. It was great.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. I just normally, at least when playing against you mostly, I feel like it's you play very defensive. So like taking Assassinate is kind of like
it's a risk.
Tough into your play style.
Yeah. That's true. Outcasts don't really have a lot of good options to take Assassinate against, like unless they take the Vix.
Yeah, man.
None of them are super killy, or super vulnerable to dying, rather.
Oh, Titania's going into Parker.
And she is.
Parker is full health. It must have been from the dock. Oh, he's taking some damage now. I love Titania's attack, Awaken Hunger. That is just such a cool attack.
It is. It's super good, too.
Titania is a... If she had a crow on that attack, I would play her all the time.
Oh, that would just be...
I...
just the, everything about it is horrible. Oh, that, just the fact that you get
that'd
moved.
Be nuts.
I don't think it'd be that nuts. Like that, I feel like every good beater in the game has like a built-in suit or a built-in plus. And those that don't are just like, they don't do it for me. I want some reliability if I'm going to be playing like a tournament for 5 rounds or something, you know?
What I'm really wondering right now is with the Rugura down, because that's a move 6 model with Deadly Pursuit, so it can push forward at the end of the turn. How is he going to get these symbols markers?
You're right.
He has to kill stuff to get
markers.
He has to lock it down, the game down, basically, and keep everything contained.
You think Johan can get there? With just a charge? Maybe he has to walk charge. I mean, the Parker player so far had the right read. I was skeptical looking at the list. Because I'm like, okay, well, it looks like you only win this game by controlling the middle while the stalker, you know,
does the work.
You know, does the work. And if they just decide to go into the stalker, then what do you do?
This list, I feel like it's going to be very hard to kill Parker with all the healing. How do you push through all that?
Yeah. Well, the doc's still way back there. The doc hasn't even got involved for healing wise. Oh, there's a black from the hooded.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yep.
Oh, okay. It's Parker's activation. I guess he hit his mask trigger to get out and then charged away. This is unfortunate for the Parker player, though, because he didn't get to go with Midnight first and run to assemble so that when Parker activated, he would get his ability to interact out of activation and get him to flip the symbol. This thing is flying by.
This thing is zooming. I like it though. It's very quick.
I was afraid that we would be struggling to feel blank air, but I feel like we can't get in edgewise.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with this hooded rider here. He looks like he might go down.
Ooh.
He does have the Gorar to bring him back if need to be.
Oh my god.
I guess if Hooded goes down, turn 2 is when you want him to go down, right? get healed.
Oh, well, he doesn't want to. He's about to go in and heal this guy.
So,
hope he has that mask.
Where do you position Gorar at this point, Danny? Like, if he feels so important to both of their strategies, both Parker's ability to hold down the center and Titania's now actively trying to push through the center, like, Gorar feels super important. So where do you hide him?
I mean, he's been hiding behind the building since the beginning of the game, which I personally agree with. I think that's the best way to do it at the start, really. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're just putting yourself in a huge world of risk. But, you know, you want him to be close enough that when he replaces as the presumably the Hooded Rider, he can get back into things quickly, but not so close that he just gets shot off before he can replace.
Oh, I forgot that Serena – you said that Serena ignored armor, and I just completely forgot.
Yeah?
But, yeah. Oh, Ark has Diving Charge. So that's not going to do much to him, but that was interesting that she – hit him so hard, ignored the armor.
Actually,
like off some of the damage. But
something I didn't think about before was Arak has Gravity Well, so you can't place. Which means if you have flight, which Titania does.
See, that's what I was going to ask you, but we everything was going so fast. Like, I feel like he took Arak for the front of the card because he's got so many. Like, he decided he wasn't going to take Mad Dog because he thought he wasn't going to do anything. So you need something in that slot that can kind of contribute, but also not be card hungry. And I feel like he went for Arik, maybe for the front of the card. But other than flight, it would stop the Gorar, right? Replacing?
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe. Is replace effect a place effect?
Yeah.
A stupid question.
Place it in base and then remove it or something. Probably.
Yeah,
probably.
It usually doesn't work because the replacing model is like bigger than the smaller model is replacing into. So you just put the smaller model out of LOS.
That just says replace
that's also
it,
big actually. For the effigy.
Ooh, that's a good point. This is actually, I would really like this Arc pick.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you got, you know, hole in the world all the way back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an unfortunate time to red Joker right there.
Hooded's going now. I thought Hooded had already activated, so that's very interesting.
That makes sense, Lou. Oh, I think he's trying to line up Bowman to get in there. Has Bowman gone yet?
It looked like Hooded just punched twice and then ride with me out. Yeah, Bowman went and healed.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and shot.
He could have done something like walk up the Wicked Doll, and the Wicked Doll has... Actually, you might be able to get to the marker with the Wicked Doll. Yeah, creep along and then walk. I don't know if it puts him in range or not.
Looks like...
Did he get it?
I don't know.
It looked like he picked up the marker. Oh, no.
He's maybe just double walk base to base for the for next turn.
Unfortunate. Good idea, though.
That's probably also his hidden martyr, so... Now that he's given the Parker player a really hard decision, like, give me my head martyr or give me my strat point.
Well, then, I thought hidden martyrs are only minions, yeah?
Oh, is the Wicked Doll not a minion?
It is a minion, but it's only three minions.
It's not. It's not only minion.
Oh. Okay, then that would work with the Hooded Rider, but it has to be total.
I meant the Wicked Doll.
Yeah, the Wicked Doll's 3 points, and the points of the two guys has to total up to 13, doesn't it?
It just has to be less, so you could pick a 3 and a 4 if you wanted.
I see, okay.
You try to make the Ruguru.
Oh, he did?
I think he failed.
That's not a bad idea, though.
Nothing happens if he fails, right? He's still there.
I think he just failed.
Yeah, nothing happens.
Wow, it looks like Parker may have moved out of range for heals, which is... He might have got a little too far away.
I mean, he can still shoot his gun over there. Not ideal, obviously, but.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and we realized that the Nevermore player doesn't need to score assassinate, so.
Right, but he doesn't know that.
True.
So I think that's. I mean, that's a safe play with Parker.
That's, to just yeah, get him. It's not bad. To go in just to get him to go away. Get him out of position just because he thinks he's denying assassinate by running away.
No points scored, it looks like.
What do you think the Earth Vendetta targets are for both sides?
Wish I knew, right?
Yeah.
They probably said it at the beginning.
They did, but we have it on mute.
We definitely can't. I mean, you guys can turn a little volume on. I'm just afraid of.
I have a volume on.
Yeah.
I just missed that part because we were talking over it.
Yeah. Ooh, blacks. Initiative.
Not a bad time to black Joker there.
What does Parker do here? Oh, because he's going with Johan first. Makes sense. Johan's on like 3 health or something. I believe.
What's his engagement range?
2.
Okay, so you can hit him. I think that's a good use. I think he's 1 wound left. Might as well get his activation out.
Cheating at 13 defensively. That's pretty interesting. That's a black. All right, here comes Titania. What do you think's the best play here, Danny, with her activation?
I honestly would, yeah, push the marker in for sure. That's easy kill.
Oh, that killed him. Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then I would just run in and she has leech life and just like hold up everything in there.
Yeah. I think you go for the totem, actually.
Is that Doc?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like he's going for him.
Oh, yeah. Well,
ooh, he got the mass trigger. Put another marker down, did the point of damage.
So yeah, if I were him, I would just go in there and just engage everything and use a lot of awakened hunger. Looks like he's going after Doc.
Yeah.
Attack if you're playing against Parker. You want to kill Doc as soon as possible, because not only does he have a heal that he only needs a 6 for, he is Arcane Reservoir. So it's like one of the easiest ways to take Arcane Res out of a target, out of a crew.
Yeah.
And there he goes.
That was well done. Smart move.
Yeah, that's definitely the move.
See, a crow would be nice here to flip him around.
Ooh.
Oh, hey.
Getting in red. Into thorns.
Yeah.
Interesting. I feel like you would want to save the red for, if you're going into Auric, you would maybe want to save it for Serena, considering she ignores the armor.
For sure. But
maybe yeah. He has other plans for Serena.
I think getting the Into Thorns trigger here is not a bad idea, though. Just to.
I think all the plan is keeping.
You're just really forcing her on half the table.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to see Bowman heal and then maybe run off for strat.
I don't like this Parker activation. He's not in range. He's not, doesn't really have LOS to get any efficiencies out of activation interacts. That being said, killing the Gorar is obviously super important.
Yeah. I think getting the Ruguru down and then killing the Gorar are pretty good trade-off.
He's in the 9 to make that a... He must have had cover.
Oh, he does have cover. You're right. I was wondering that too. I was like, they're tied,
yeah,
aren't they?
That should have been a tie, but yeah, he must have cover. Wow. All 3 AP going into the Gorar.
Ouch.
If he doesn't kill them, this is a massive swing.
He should get it, being Mintu, unless you like Black Joker or something.
I think he's debating a cheat. There's no way he has another 13, right? Okay. He doesn't red, kills Gorar.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the situations that's like, it's definitely worth it to do that, but you don't want to spend 3 master AP trying to kill a 4 health totem.
Yeah.
Ooh, the emissary's out. And he's charging in.
Ooh, the Parker player is hoping he's got a mask in hand. If he doesn't have it, because Midnight does not have his leap built in. He needs the mask. So if the emissary can do anything and he doesn't have the mask, he's not going to shoot her. And that is going to be a problem.
Ooh. This guy just flipped it very nice.
Nah. He's got Demise Eternal and he's got Manipulative. He should be fine.
That's true. But the emissary did get a nice heal off the first attack there.
Like he's flipping negatives, Ray, off the manipulative, so he should be fine. Yeah, there was the demise.
Yep. He's now in hazardous terrain though.
So even more, if he does not have a mask in hand, this is gonna be rough.
Do we really ever see the emissary killing him though? With a manipulative and demise eternal? Like what's the chance of getting 2 hits?
Yeah, you'd have to hit him. You have to kill him and then hit him for 4.
Yeah. It's once a turn. Yeah. Dedicating one model to it, I don't know if he'll ever kill it unless he just has to connect twice.
I guess the only world in which that happens is he knocks him down to 1 health next turn and then focuses with the second AP so that he can do 1 damage and then focus and punch him and hit him for 4.
Yeah, he has to get the hit first. That's rough. That's a pretty sick combo. Manipulative and Demise Eternal.
Yeah, he is almost faction defining, I'd say like Levy and Midnight are in GG1 sort of faction defining for Outcast. Ooh, Hooded's getting hit by Yelsu.
This is scary. He's got no way to bail himself out with the Gorar anymore, so.
Yeah, and depending on how many masks he's sent, he could be dead.
Oof. I don't think he's used any, so.
He has used some.
Has he?
Yeah, I believe he has. That was the
last one.
He's 3 or 4, I think.
That's the 11.
Oh, and it's a mask.
And he's got cover, it looks like, so that's he's going to live on 1.
Yeah.
Dahl goes and picks that up.
He's scoring.
Wow, this Wicked Dahl is going to run the table.
That's the problem with it is if you don't kill it, it's going to put up points on you.
Yeah. Wow, I never realized how good it is.
If your opponent spends the AP to get in range, they'll kill it. It's only 3 health.
Oh, yeah, but even still.
It's going to diving charge over the wall.
Yeah,
this is a very important top deck. I feel like neither player has Severs at this point.
Honestly, I'd almost go for the Wicked Dahl over the Hooded Rider here. Like, yeah, it's nice to get the Hooded Rider down, but the Wicked Dahl's going to score points for him.
Art gets it, looks like. Hardwell, yeah, Hooded's down.
Oh, boy. This is brutal.
I wonder if Serena can just eat his lunch, though, with all the ignoring armor.
Probably. Yeah. She ignores friendly fire too, so that Wicked Dahl won't matter. I guess that's a walk charge.
What was the scheme pull again? Yeah. Parker player is going to, at some point, need to be ahead in terms of action economy because he has Breakthrough versus Vendetta and Hidden Martyrs. So the number one player can just keep playing this slap fight all day, you know.
Ooh, did he just take them off there? Oh, no. Yeah, I think the Midnight Stalker, unless he could still go through with run with what's his name?
He got his life.
Parker himself.
Walk. Drop a skein too, I assume.
I think he had to walk.
He should have been fast.
He had the leap walk, interact walk.
Oh, Bowman moving backwards. Ignoring Arik.
Huh. Why do you think he sees Sue as more of a problem? That must be Vendetta. You think that's Vendetta? That must be his Vendetta. There would be no reason otherwise.
Yeah. Right? How many points is Sue, though? Can Vendetta be equal points?
I think so.
So Parker has two symbols points now. Is what the thing just said. What was the first? I didn't see the first symbol.
Neither did I.
Midnight must have put his symbol in a really weird place on turn two. And he picked it up easy.
Maybe.
That's the only thing that makes sense. So.
I mean, flank is kind of tough for it. You got to put it pretty far up.
I feel like with flank, you can kind of decide to have all of the markers sort of equidistantly far from each other, or you can just go with a strat like two over here, two over there, as far as you can on opposite sides. So you are more likely to hold them at two.
I think that's the plan. I think that's the best way to do it. But I mean,
And I've played symbols. I guess it depends on what you're playing against, but I kind of like it putting it, especially in this deployment, putting it all to the, like, basically all onto one side and then kind of moving up and rotating to kind of, like, hold, like, that corner.
Yeah, I guess you can only put it so far to one side, though, with the 'cause 10 inches is a lot, right?
I think it's 8. It has to be 8 inches apart, I think.
It's 10. I don't know.
I could be wrong as well. I'm pretty sure. I thought it was 8, but who knows? Let's see.
But yeah, you could definitely play one side a little more, which I feel like is probably pretty smart.
Depends. I think against this crew, I would try to play one side. With Midnight Stalker, I wouldn't want to.
Ooh! Autumn Knight, what you doing? 5 damage.
Wow. Nothing was exotic.
Should have brought Assassinate.
Seriously, though. I mean, he has heals.
Yeah. He has so many heals, though. That's a lot of hoops to jump through to get that kill. Dead, though, and
yeah, at a certain point, if a 10-stone model is healing twice, you'll take that trade.
That's a good point. Plus, it has to, you know, opponent that doesn't necessarily know he doesn't have Assassinate, so the fact that he's going this hard after his master kind of forces him to play a lot more weakly than he might like to otherwise.
Yeah, it's an interesting exchange of, you know, how much AP can I get this guy to waste on healing, but how much AP do I have to use to represent Assassinate? So,
yeah, that's a good point.
There's a balance. There's somewhere where someone's.
I think it worked too because he just spent the 10-stone activation to get Parker out of combat. I think he healed him once and then he gave them the companion upgrade, discarded a card so that Parker could immediately activate, which sort of to me implies that he's kind of feeling the pressure. And then he has Parker go pick up the symbol. Get the hell out of there.
I mean, honestly, just even getting the symbol out of that, because I don't think the Midnight Stalker was in range to really get anything else. I think it's a good trade-off. Plus, he needs another guy over there for Breakthrough anyways.
Ooh, Midnight's at 1 HP.
Yeah, because he took a damage from the leaping out.
Oh, he might actually get him here.
That would be crazy. Trigger Demise.
Yeah, there's the card. I just got to hit him for Sphere.
Red Joker's happened. Oh, he's already red.
Yeah, he is.
That's an ace.
Is that for the leap then?
Yeah, it looks like he had to throw an 11 on it.
Yeah.
You'll still, I mean, you'll still do that.
Yeah, there you go. Put that marker underneath that base just a little bit.
I hate that rule.
It is kind of scuzzy.
It just adds time to the game because it's like, by the way, I'm putting the marker, you know, 0.342 inches underneath my base because that is like the mathematically correct move. Like, okay.
Yeah. It's I think just you like could just say to your opponent, I'm doing the thing.
Yeah, I'm putting the marker where people
I'm doing the thing, and I think they'll understand.
Oh, Serena's running D.
That's an interesting choice.
Yeah, because now the doll's by himself. He's going to get punched to death.
Yeah, that doll is gone, and then he has nobody to get markers now. So.
What is... Oh, he's blocking his path.
His escape.
Makes sense.
Smart stuff. Okay, Sue, I guess, is not Vendetta because Titania's trying to kill him right now. Why they gotta take Vendetta, right? It's like the only scheme where, like, ah, crap. The Ruguru must have been either the Vendetta or one of the hidden martyrs. Nice, yeah. And we just kind of missed it.
No, he's not going for the marker.
End of Thorns. Gets him down to hard to kill.
Oh, and he pushes the little
pushes marker. Him and kills him. Yeah.
That's a nice tight move.
Clean.
Yeah. That's a clean move. I like that. I kind of want to play Titania now. A little bit.
She's cool, man. She's cool. She just.
I've got a lot of assembling to do. She
just doesn't quite do it. At least for me.
Now, I want to hear your opinion on Autumn Knights, Danny, because when I look at them, they seem like one of the most efficient minions in the game with the armor, the hard to wound, only being 7 stones. They just have like a lot going for them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What do you think about that 7 stone slot in general? Because to me, it's like, you get a lot of efficiency at 7 stones, but you're also in like a weird place where you probably should have maybe just brought a more impactful thing for more stones. So
yep.
I don't know. What do you think?
So part of it's the Neverborn faction in general. We have a lot of really good like 8, 9, 10 point henchmen and enforcers and stuff that you want to take, like Serena Bowman and you know, the Hooded Rider. And a bunch of others. So when you hit that 7-point mark, it does get kind of like, well, you know, for one more stone, I can get Serena Bowman. For one more stone, I can get something else. The other thing I'll say about the Autumn Knights is they're great models for being a nuisance and like gumming up your opponents. They go in, they hit pretty hard. They're hard to take out. They're annoying to take out. You have to spend a lot of time and resources into them. But at the end of the day, they're not actually spending, like, scoring you points, and they're... You're only denying your opponent if your opponent is putting time into them. So if your opponent either has an efficient way to deal with them by ignoring armor or hard to wound, or if they just are like, you know what, I'm just going to ignore it as best I can and hope for the best, then they're a lot less useful.
Yeah.
And in general, I don't love...
At least they have challenge to offset that.
Yeah. That's the main thing. That's why they're annoying is... You know, you challenge a henchman or a master on the enemy team, and they have to pitch cards to not hit you. But
this is very interesting. So I feel like, so this is turn five. What we missed is that the Titania player cheated in a 12 just to get the doll to pick up a symbol. Feels like the right move.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Midnight can make it to the last symbol and get the third breakthrough, which is why it's interesting that he's going with Parker right now.
Well, if Parker, he charged and then got the reposition trigger and then he walks and drops a marker.
Walks, drops his game, yeah. Okay.
Nice, yeah.
And Serena's just out there trying to keep up. So Vendetta just must be off the table for both of these people. That's why you just don't bring Vendetta. I mean, so many things have to go right, and you just...
You. Personally, I like Vendetta. I think it's not a bad take at all.
I think it's...
I've never taken it yet.
It's like... I mean, this game seems like it was probably defined by some Vendetta takes. I wish we knew exactly what they were. We missed it. We'll have to... Before we cut out, we're going to cut back and see what those Vendetta models were.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's underbrushing, endothornsing his own model into the underbrush marker to move it, is what it looks like here.
Whoa. Maybe Serena Midnight is his Vendetta.
You know what? Maybe.
That would make sense, because Serena's hard to kill. And Midnight has the demise, so all you have to do is get him below half. That's also the risk with Vendetta, is that you accidentally kill what you were trying to just get below half health.
Right. You red Joker them, and then, just kidding, I'm going to cheat in this moderate card.
Or not even that. You get him down to 2 health, and then you have nothing that can... The model that's your Vendetta doesn't have a 1 damage ability.
That's true.
Which is what happened in Jimmy and mine last game. I knocked his... my Vendetta target down to 2 health, and I'm just like, oh, well, I guess I'll just hope he heals him. No, it probably won't happen. Mm-hmm. Challenge is so good.
Yes. I feel like they both played relatively defensively, at least to what I'm used to seeing.
I agree 100%.
Well, they both had that smash in the middle.
They did, but then they both kind of retreated from it almost.
They kind of both dissipated out of it.
Yeah, it's like they both realized that that's not actually what they wanted.
Yeah, well, one ran away, and then he's like, I guess the Titania player could say, okay, he probably doesn't have Assassinate if he's retreating. And then the Titania player didn't pursue Parker, so then the Outcast player could be like, I guess he doesn't have Assassinate.
If he does kill Midnight, no, never mind. I was going to say, if he kills Midnight before he activates, it's a 2-point swing, but... Oh, what's our Midnight point counter up to? 1, 2, 3...
It's going to be 3 points.
4.
2 markers, 1 breakthrough.
Oh, 4 points. Yeah.
He's going to score both breakthrough and 2 symbols.
Yeah. What is that, 4 shots then for the game?
Yeah.
That guy sucks.
Yeah, I think he got a whiff of the Vendetta.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Wait, the Outcast player scored 1 Vendetta point.
Oh, okay. GG. 5-2 to Outcast. I'm going to just give a little volume on this. Okay. So Rougarou was one of his hidden martyrs. So that's why everything went to crap so early.
Yeah, he still played well after that.
Yeah, I think so too. It was looking Neverborn favored at some point, but that's because we didn't know that Rougarou was the hidden martyr.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's saying right now that he should have took Assassinate, which is definitely a good realization post-game.
Well, I don't know. I think it's still the right choice, at least because you pick it before the game starts to unfold, obviously.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, beforehand, I'm not really expecting to ever kill Parker. 14 wounds with all the heals that he has.
Yep, so his vendetta was Serena onto Midnight.
I was wondering about that. I guess that's a good point.
Really interesting. This is really cool that they go through like all their pivot points.
Yeah, and their thoughts throughout the game.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, if this wasn't a bat rep sort of situation, I think you might re-rack off that Rougarou dying. I mean, Parker hits Mintu all the... Like, Parker basically what he does is he hits Mintu until he flips moderate. And the fact that he hits severe and moderate...
Right, on a hard-to-win model, no less.
Hard-to-win model, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a real rough go.
Yeah, and this is kind of like where I always struggle with Titania most of all. There's lots of like good models to take with her, mm-hmm. but there's none that are just like, oh, that I'm always taking that model. There's no like, I feel like every master has at least one or two of those that it's like, oh, this is so good with them. I have to take it with them. It just synergizes too well. It's like that linchpin keyword model. And I feel like she just doesn't have that.
From an outsider, Killjoy seems so strong, but I don't know. What do you think? Thoughts on him?
He beats really, really hard. I mean, that's about it, though. He still goes down easy. He can come back, but it's one of those things. It could be good, and I feel like this way about Titania in general, and I kind of said it before as well, but it's just it either isn't good or I'm just not playing it well enough.
Yeah.
And I think I would honestly, like, lean more towards I'm not playing it well enough and I just haven't put in the time with it.
Can he be ride with me with the hooded rider?
Killjoy?
Yeah. Or is he size 3?
Yeah, you have to be smaller size, I think.
Okay. I didn't know if he was size 3 or 2 or whatever.
I'm pretty sure he's 3, but I could be wrong.
Man, that's the end of the video, guys. Shout out to Hexbag. That was sick.
That was amazing. That was very concise. I liked it a lot.
Yep. That's the best battle report or like video I've ever watched.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude. That was super cool. I enjoyed watching it with you guys. What are your overall thoughts on the game, Danny?
I mean, I kind of said this before as well, but you know, anytime I'm running into a gun crew, especially like Parker or someone, I'm worried about getting shot off the board at the beginning, and that definitely happened to him, the Neverborn player in that one.
Yeah.
Overall, I think Titania's, like, just looking at the board beforehand and stuff and going into a faction that has a lot of guns, I think Titania's, like, a solid pick for sure. I think, in my opinion, something I would do differently if I was the Neverborn player is I would take Aislinn there and maybe try Runic Binding. Because you do have the End of Thorns trigger on a lot of different models. And so if they get out of your little triangle, you can flip them right back in. Like, it's not a great scheme in general, but if there is a crew to do it with, I think Titania's crew is one of the better ones. I don't think Vendetta was bad. Obviously, he got kind of unfortunate and unlucky with that.
You don't think you should just took Breakthrough instead of Runic Binding?
I probably would have. I would have taken Breakthrough and ran some different models for it.
Yeah. If you go in there anyway and it's flank, it feels like such strong, like, match, pair.
Yeah,
Symbol flank. Breakthrough. I feel like that's a pretty strong combo. I really like schemes where you can't really kill the points off killing models like Vendetta, Assassinate, etc., Hidden Martyrs. I don't like anything where I have to write down a model's name. So I don't know.
I agree that the Symbols and Breakthrough is like a really strong combo, but at the same time, I don't know if Neverborn, really just the Neverborn faction as a whole, has enough interacts like to give out to do both.
Yeah.
I would run that with like a Nephilim crew, just because depending on how the symbols and stuff are arranged, or even for Breakthrough, you can half the models in that keyword have Fly With Me. So you just drop a marker, Fly With Me, drop a marker. It's basically Leap.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
That's pretty sick. How about you, Jimmy? Do you have any closing thoughts about it?
I think that game was really interesting. I think it seemed like, I don't know, it seemed like both players were playing pretty defensive and kind of like putting each other off of their game plans.
Yeah, like reactive, I guess you could say.
They're more focused on, felt like there was a lot of like, kind of like, focus on denying kind of, and just reacting to what the other player is doing more than being more, like proactive and just getting points.
Yeah, I agree with that. If I was, obviously I know Neverborn better than I know Outcast, so I think about it like if I was playing Titania rather than the game as a whole, but I would have gone, and he mentioned this in his thoughts after the game as well, but I think I would have gone after those other two symbol markers like as soon as turn two, honestly.
Yeah.
Just like push over in that direction, just threaten it and be like, I'm over here. Like, you got to do something about me or I'm going to get a bunch of points. But
yeah, and he definitely says in the video that the Rougarou going down so early sort of threw him, and you could definitely tell that. Like he commits really hard, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna have to just kill your stuff. But I guess in retrospect, I mean, he even admitted to it. It's like, well, I should have just kept calm and just played for my points instead of just trying to kill all of the stuff. You know?
Yeah.
You it's did a good job playing all that stuff, but it didn't translate.
I think going in was the right play either way.
Yeah.
Even if the Rougarou didn't die, I think I would have personally probably went in on that.
Yeah, I mean, against a gun line, you have one of two plays. You can either scream at it, or you can hide and slow the game down as much as you can until...
Especially with like a running gun crew, you can't. I feel like you just can't hide. Like, you're just going to get shot at. Like, they're going to be able to move and shoot. And you're going to be able to move and get shot. So, I think getting in there is important.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, cool. Thanks for watching this. And thanks for sticking with it if you listened to this the whole time. Let us know if you liked this and you would want us to do this with the other bat reps. It's definitely a fun time. It's pretty easy to do. and especially if Hexbag puts out more, I definitely would like to watch them. That was a really concise watch.
Yeah, that was easily one of the best battle reports I've ever seen.
Yeah, in any game.
I'd love to produce our own battle reports.
No way. No way, no? Dude.
How hard could it work? I mean, yeah, it looks like a lot of work, but
the whole premise of this podcast is we put in as little effort as possible so that other people will record their own podcast so we can listen to that. Yeah. All right. Danny, you got any shout outs before we go?
You know, I'll shout out Third Floor Wars. Give some North Carolina love.
Yeah. Cool, man. All right. Later, fiends or something. Peace.
What are you doing in my swamp?
Just as a postscript, we got a Discord channel up in the episode description. So if you feel like you need to log on and share some opinions about the eps, get on that and yell at us. We probably won't be super active on Facebook or anything like that. So hit us up in the Discord. Also, Jimmy and I will probably be playing games in there and stuff too. So if you're a PC gamer, come in there and play with us. I mean, like, him and I are good friends because we used to play 40K together, and then we, like, you know, played SWTOR and then like WoW and all kinds of Sea of Thieves, all that fun stuff together. So I don't know, if you want to game with us, get in on that. Just make your name like your first name. I don't want to call you like Ruroni Kenshin 6969 or something. Just like tell us what your first name is and like where you're from, and we can play some games and chat it up, or you could just talk and chat, whatever. It's dead right now, but hopefully it won't be. This is probably date this little postscript, but it's April and I'm playing the hell out of some Valorant. So if you want to play that, like, please hop in there. Warzone too. I'm playing some Warzone too. So come play or chat or whatever. Who cares? Bye.